you know, it's interesting. You do find patterns like that in many jurisdictions across the country. It's just a fact that, for the most part, when a minority candidate and an Anglo or white candidate oppose each other in an election contest where you have a substantial population of minorities, that they oftentimes tend to support the minority candidate, and Anglo or white voters tend to support the white candidate.
And it also, what you found, which is not to any real surprise here, is that the new proposed redistricting maps, at least the draft at this point, will now give districts 1 through 6 predominantly African-American representation, where before it was districts 1 through 5.
That's correct. I mean, District 6, I believe it was, actually, because of population changes over the course of the decade, was about a 43% African-American district. The new map increases that by about 7%. It's just slightly majority black now, 50.2, I believe. And that district will continue to provide an effective opportunity for African-American voters to elect their candidate of choice in that district.
I'm sure, as you've learned, districts 1 through 6 were kind of the more difficult areas to redraw. But in your, with your experience and with what you've seen with the maps, was there any other way they could do it, or was this pretty much done well?
There was a real challenge, I think, to the redistricting committee to look at what essentially were underpopulated districts on the west side and try to make sure that they had enough population to comply with the one-person, one-vote requirement. So, and that's often a challenge because you really, those districts on the west side, you can't go west, and you really can't go north for District 1. So it was a real challenge, I think, to get population into those districts at a level that would comply with the one-person, one-vote requirement. And at the same time had to deal with another important factor, which is to ensure that the opportunities for black voters in District 1 under the existing plan are maintained under the proposed plan. And even though the percentage African-American population goes down, it's still a very solid 58.1% African-American population, and should have black voters in that district should have no difficulty in continuing to elect their preferred candidate.
From here on out, is it safe to assume that people will continue to vote along party lines, or is there any way that they'll be able to break that kind of racial polarization of voting? You know, it seems like we've kind of created or drawn these areas along the voting lines, and then that's how they're expected to vote also. In your experience, have you seen people break away from that? And if so, what kind of factors come in?
Well, the only reason that there is to draw districts where black voters are a majority of the voting age population is if you have voting patterns that break down along racial lines. If we saw white voters voting overwhelmingly for black candidates and black voters voting overwhelmingly for white candidates in elections consistently, then the Supreme Court has said that really you don't really need to create majority-minority districts because there isn't the presence of racially polarized voting. Unfortunately, in Louisville, as in many communities across the United States, we haven't reached that point yet, and so majority-minority districts are going to continue to be necessary, at least for a while, until we see people no longer using the race of the candidate as a cue for how they're going to cast their ballots.
How do you rate it when compared to other places you've done this kind of work in?
Well, I would say that, you know, I did find that the African-American candidates garner a little bit more support from white precincts and white voters in the eastern part than is present in a lot of other urban areas where oftentimes minority preferred candidates get very little support from white, predominantly white precincts. So I think Louisville's voting patterns, while somewhat consistent, you know, with the overall racially polarized voting patterns, nonetheless do have a, you know, significant number of white voters casting ballots for minority candidates, and I think that's probably a sign, perhaps, that Louisville's a little bit ahead of other places.